Well, good morning, and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you have been here your whole life or this is your first time worshiping with us, we are glad that you have found your way here. And a few ways to learn more about GPC is to check out the ways that we are community together. In your bulletin, there are calendars, worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. Or following worship, an elder will be standing at the communion table to receive your questions or your comments. A few announcements we have this morning. Please remember that this Wednesday at 7 p.m., we will start our Lenten journey with Ash Wednesday worship. All are invited to join us 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. And we'll go down the way here, a few more announcements, and we'll get us started.
Well, it's thank you isn't enough to say. Last week at 9:45, there was a blank piece of paper out on the sign-up board, or mostly blank. And by 11:30, it was completely full. So thank you for making all the donations, food donations to St. Joseph's. It was amazing. We did serve yesterday. We had 7 very energetic junior highs that pitched right in and did, I can only say, the kind of a job that makes you proud that you've got kids like that. And if your kids were amongst those, be very proud, because they just did one heck of a job, including mopping the floors at the end and leaving it cleaner than they found it. So that was very nice. One other thing to say thank you for, which goes out to each and every person sitting there, is that they were able to donate over $300 that they collected on Super Bowl Sunday. And Harry Murray acted as the representative for St. Joseph's and was very, very appreciative of that money. It's going to go to good use. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Real quick reminder to deacons, we do not have a meeting this Monday. We will be meeting next Monday.
Thank you, Gary. That was a great announcement.
I don't know if I can do it that quick. I almost didn't need to do an announcement. I've been passing tickets out this morning for the Amherst game this evening. If you haven't got yours yet, come down and see us in Fellowship Hall after worship.
Thank you, Barb.
I have to be the last one, I guess. We have these booklets available for Lent. They're out in the table near the kiosk for a $1 donation. Also, I wondered if people would like to join me in the adult lounge to get some information about the Big Brothers, Big Sisters organization. There's a lot of volunteering opportunity, and I have information to share. Thanks.
Thank you. Dave Fish?
The Lenten Wall of Food is back. So please bring your food in. What I've noticed is this church is so active during the week. It'd be great to bring your food in as you come in and out of the doors during the week. Also, thank you so much.
Now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our whole entire selves to worship our holy God.
Thank you.
Please stand as you are able and join in the call to worship. We do not know what to say, for we are afraid. But a cloud overshadows us, and a voice comes to us. This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him. Lord, we listen today.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. Forgive us, God, when we linger too long by the waters and on the mountaintops, enthralled with the glory that flows from you. When we fail to listen to your voice leading and guiding us, shake us from our contentment and send us forward, endowed with your power. Amen. Whether we hear a voice from the heavens or a still, small voice in our hearts, listen carefully for the love of God. Believe and accept God's love and live in God's freedom. We believe. Thanks be to God.
I now invite the children to come forward. Good morning. Where should we go? Oh, up here. Okay. Good morning. Good morning. So I have a question for you this morning. What do we get ready for during the month of December? What do we get ready for? Christmas, that's right. And when we get ready for Christmas, what kind of things do we do? Just shout it out. Tell me, what do we do when we get ready for Christmas? Decorate. Do we sing songs? Yes, put up the trees. There are a lot of things that we do when we get ready for Christmas. Do you know what today is? Today is the halfway point right in between Christmas and Easter. And do you know what we call today? Transfiguration of the Lord Sunday. I know. Everybody out there gives me that same look. Like, what is that? This is the day where we celebrate Jesus who goes up the mountain, shines bright with the love of God, and then comes back down. And so when he comes back down the mountain, we begin the season of Lent. And what do we do to get ready for Lent? Have you heard the Lent carols at the mall yet? No? I haven't heard them yet either. How about a Lent tree? You got a Lent tree you put up in your house? No. It's kind of a hard season to celebrate, isn't it? But we've got a few things happening here at church to get us ready. First, this Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and you all are invited to come to that service too. And you know what else is going to happen? Next Sunday is a Fusion Sunday. So we are going to learn some new prayer practices for Lent. And you know what else is coming? The fishy banks. I know. There we go. We get excited for the fishy banks. So it's going to take some creativity. And I also encourage you to go home and talk with your parents or your grandparents. What can we do during the season of Lent to prepare with Jesus for Easter? You might stump them a little bit. And if you do, we can have a talk some more. How does that sound? All right, let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for the shining love of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Now, the third through sixth graders, today is your day to the Fusion Room, so parents after worship can pick up your kids there. So if you are in third through sixth grade, head down that door and some folks will help you find the room, and everyone else can go to your regular Sunday school class. I see them with umbrella. Good morning. Seems like a good spot to hang out.
The first reading of the word is from 2 Kings. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. And he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went, and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them into two pieces.
Thank you.
Amen. Six days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them high up a mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking to Jesus. And then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. It's good to hear this morning that I am not alone in my coughing and congestion, so you will have to excuse me if I have to reach for my water at some point. And when I'm feeling healthier, I spend quite a bit of time at the YMCA, right around the corner from here. It's always great because I run into a lot of folks from GPC who hang out there, and you can normally find me tucked in the corner on one of the treadmills. Now, I've tried to multitask before and talk to folks and be on the treadmill, but it usually ends up with me falling off. So it's good to know one's limitations and ability to multitask. But the multitasking I am able to accomplish while on the treadmill is to flip on CNN and catch up on the daily news. A few days ago, the headline story was all about the escalating violence in Syria. The newscaster, with her normally very peppy voice that covered all sorts of happy celebrity stories, dropped a few octaves, indicating the serious nature of the next story. And she even warned that images the viewers were about to see were extremely disturbing and not suitable for young viewers. Usually I scoff at such warnings because normally what they show on TV news is mild compared to what we see in the movies. So I ignored the warning and I kept running and I kept watching. And then a grainy YouTube clip came on the screen. It had obviously been taken with someone's cell phone. And the ticker at the bottom of the screen read Homs, Syria. Scanning through what looked like the remnants of a bombed out home, the shaky image came into focus. A child who had been killed. And it was so disturbing that I could barely take my eyes off of the screen, and yet at the same time, my head was screaming, "Just turn it off! Flip back to HGTV reruns of some remodel show, anything, anything, but what was on the screen at that moment." Because there they were, the images of the darkest valley of humanity, reflected in images of senseless killings that claimed the lives of children and men and women. And I was thinking about that moment on the treadmill and hearing the gospel lesson for this morning. And the question that came to my mind was, why? Why did Jesus come down the mountain? Naturally, we are very attracted to that journey up the mountain. If you've ever climbed a mountain, you have tasted that sublime feeling of accomplishment, of reaching the summit. Whether it's a daily hike or a more involved expedition, there is no mistake about the experience. I lived for 2 summers in North Carolina, and there was nothing, nothing like those moments of setting out in the dark of morning with only a headlamp to light the way. Tree branches would whip at my bare face and legs, and I stumbled over those unseen roots and rocks. But every drop of blood and bruised shin was worth that moment that the sun inched above the horizon and the mountaintops, dispersing the morning haze with its bright brilliance. I savored every second. And the pictures I took with my yellow box disposable camera never did it any moment of justice. I just wanted to stay on that mountaintop forever. But inevitably, someone would look at their watch and remind us we had to go back to work. Sighs would escape our lips. We would gather our gear and start the trek back down. We love the thrill of going up the mountain. But coming back down is a whole nother matter. Already exhausted from the climb, our legs quivering like jelly, and all those rocks you stumbled over on the way up seem to have gotten bigger in the daylight, and each laborious step requires the effort of balance and strength just to keep your feet from sliding out underneath of you. There isn't an anticipation any longer of what motivated you up. There is simply this one step in front of the other task of getting down the mountain. And when you get down there, the view's not that great. The tasks of everyday life resume, and we're left trying to figure out how these wonderful, breathtaking, God-filled, beautiful moments fit into our life that, well, aren't always like that. And such is the task for the disciples and for us in this mountaintop story of the transfiguration of Christ from the Gospel of Mark. The disciples have been stumbling around in the dark for quite a while. This is a theme that the gospel writer likes to emphasize a lot. And this particular story this morning comes in the midst of a central section that opens with the healing of a blind man and ends with the healing of a blind man. And in between, the disciples remain blind, that is, unable to grasp the plan of Jesus, which he offers repeatedly concerning his own death. And the disciples cannot fathom how the suffering, how the death that Jesus foretells has anything to do with the plan of the kingdom the Messiah came to build. And so there is confusion. There is anxiety. And they are terrified. They are terrified, we are told, by the vision of Jesus they see on that mountaintop. In keeping with biblical tradition, mountaintops are the site for encounters with God. Remember, Moses receives the law directly from God when he is alone on the mountain, and Elijah, the story we heard this morning, encounters God on Mount Horeb in the silence, in the still small voice. And in the Gospel of Matthew, the central plan of God's promises to God's people, the Beatitudes, the promises of blessedness take place up on a mountain. It's also helpful for us this morning to think about where we are on our liturgical journey. As I shared with the children this morning, we spend all of December in many ways enthusiastically climbing up the mountain of Advent that culminates with the view of the Christ child on Christmas. And the season of Epiphany follows. And it's kind of like being able just to stay up on the mountain and enjoy the light of Christ as it shines in our lives. And this is the last Sunday of Epiphany. This coming week, we will begin our Lenten journey to Jerusalem on Ash Wednesday. We will remember the passion, the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord. As theologian A.M. Ramsey puts it, what the baptism is to the public ministry of Jesus, the transfiguration is to the passion. In both events, the Spirit descends. Jesus is glorified for what he will accept, the path of suffering that leads to Calvary. So the disciples then, and we now, are asked to comprehend how the kingdom of this Messiah, for whom we've waited, who prophets told us comes to relieve our fears, is built not on, not just on, glory and white light mountaintop epiphanies of absolute wonder, but also on the necessity of the cross that lies ahead. But neither God nor Jesus ever explain why. Why doesn't Jesus just keep those disciples up on the mountaintop in this transfigured state, attended by Moses and Elijah, where they were all so much closer to the state of glory that Jesus deserved than what was coming? Why does Jesus come down the mountain? Why does he come down into the mundane of everyday life? Why does he come down to meet the religious and political powers that would eventually take his life? Why does Jesus come down to the disturbing reality that the world plays games of domination, exploitation, greed, deception, and violence, displaying images of its brokenness for everyone to see? Why does Jesus come down to the squabbling and disbelieving disciples who struggle to understand what he did, what he was about to do. That he wasn't going to die because his suffering could purge the world of sin and evil. Jesus died because the powers of evil sought to destroy his coming down the mountain to witness to nonviolent love, justice, and trust. Jesus' passion revealed not only the evilness of evil, its intrinsic, deadly violence, but the transforming power of love. A powerful, assertive love that does not dominate and defeat evil so much as challenge, expose, and seek to transform it. Such love alone ultimately carries the day. This is the love that carries Jesus and us down the mountain. It doesn't mean that there are easy answers or that we understand why Jesus comes down the mountain with us. We just know that he does. He comes down into our brokenness and our fear, our hurting and our disappointment. And he does more than just come down into it. Jesus engages it with the triumphant power of God's nonviolent love in the very midst of it. It would be easier to stay on the mountaintop, to thumb through the images, the channels, where we see that suffering is too great, or where we avert our eyes to the valley of the pain in our communities. But the season and journey of Lent challenges us to a commitment to come down the mountain and trust that Jesus will always go with us. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you.
We come to God as we journey down the mountain, and we share with God and our community gathered both our prayers of joy and our prayers of concern. If you would like to raise a prayer out loud, please lift your hand high so the usher can bring you a microphone. Stand up and share that.
Marge Westfall, I'd like to thank everyone in this church who has been so kind to Jack and to me. The many, many phone calls, cards, visits, it's just overwhelming. And especially to Melissa, sweet Melissa, who even came to pray with him on one of her days off. It's just, I can't believe the outpouring of this church and the wonderful, wonderful people in it. Thank you all so very much. Jack has accepted the nursing home and is doing as well as can be expected. Thank you all again.
Continued prayers for Jack and for Marge. Got a prayer up here. Anyone else? One right there.
Hi, Gretchen Green.
It's on.
Gretchen Green. I ask for prayers for safe travel for my son and his wife who leave today for Athens, Greece. She has family there that really need help. This isn't a good time to be going, but it's... what has to be done, so safe journeys for them. Thank you.
Prayers for them.
Gary Deggs. I just want to reiterate what Al Wall said about the kids at junior high serving. It was my first time, and they were amazing. And Al and Mary Waugh did an awesome job behind the scenes. You don't even realize what goes on behind the scenes, and I thank them as well.
Prayers of celebration. All right. Don't see any other hands up. We also have the prayers that you can see in your bulletin that we continue to pray for the Ways in the loss of their home in a fire, for George Belavik, who was recently released from Unity Hospital, and also continued prayers for Brian Weber, Pat Carnahan, Jack Westfall, and also the Jamaican mission team. And from our children, as they share their prayers, we have a prayer from the kindergarten class, prayer of thanksgiving for God. We have a prayer for her sister's, for Chloe's sister's fish, prayers for a friend who is getting a new puppy, from the first and second grade that a dad and brother are doing well at camping, prayer of excitement about an upcoming vacation, prayers for a church family that gets to go to a hockey game together. Prayers of thanksgiving for a brother doing well in a tournament. And also prayers from Aaliyah for the Jamaican mission team, especially for her mom. Any other prayers of joy or concern this morning? Then let us continue our time of prayer. Oh God, we open our eyes and we see Jesus. The months of ministry transfigured to a beam of light, the light of the world, your light. May your light shine upon us. We open our eyes and we see Moses and Elijah, your word restoring us, showing us the way, telling us a story, your story, his story, our story. May our word speak, may your word speak to us, and may we listen. We open our eyes and we see mist, the clouds of your presence, which assures us of all we do not know, and that we do not need to fear that. Teach us to trust. We open our eyes and we see Peter's constructions, his best plans, our best plans, are missing the point, are missing the way. Forgive our foolishness and our sin. We open our eyes and we see Jesus. not casting us off, but leading us down, leading us out to ministry, to people. This morning we hold in prayer all the places we have been led to serve. Those places down the mountain, those moments on the top where we celebrate the light of your love that shines in very monumental ways. And we pray for the journey. We pray for those on their own journey this week, the Jamaica mission team, their leaders and participants. May this week be an opportunity to intensely feel and share your presence in their lives. God, we pray for people in Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Iran, and other countries where violence and warfare is a deep valley of suffering. We open our ears and we hear your voice. This is my beloved son, listen to him. Through that voice, through the prayers that we have spoken aloud and in the silence of our heart, God, we listen for you. And God, we pray together the prayer your Son, Jesus Christ, taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now celebrate God's presence in our lives with our gifts and offerings.
Let us pray. Loving God, we are reminded that you sent Jesus to show your love and care to all people. Use this money to open people's hearts to Jesus' healing in the world. No matter how impossible a circumstance may seem to us, you can respond in unexpected ways and offer us hope and love. Thank you, God. Amen.
We go down the mountain trusting that the love of God surround us, that Jesus Christ and his grace is our constant companion, and the courage of the Holy Spirit will indeed guide our way, and we go together. Amen.